Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, Text Number 7. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Ramaya Kunta Medase. Uttama Shloka Duryaya. Nashta Dandar. Pitangriye graye namaha. We offer respectful obeisances. Brahmanya Devaya. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accepts the Brahmanas as his worshipful deity. Ramaya, unto Lord Ramachandra, Akunda Medase, whose memory and knowledge are never disturbed by anxiety. Uttama Shloka Duryaya, the best of very famous persons. Nashta danda arpita angraye, whose lotus feet are worshipped by sages beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. Translation and purport, no purports. I'll just read the translations. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have accepted the Brahmanas as your worshipful deity. Your knowledge and memory are never disturbed by anxiety. You are the chief of all famous persons within this world, and your lotus feet are worshipped by sages who are beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. O Lord Ramachandra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Shukadeva Goswami continued, once while Lord Ramachandra was walking at night incognito, hiding himself by disguise to find out people's opinion of himself, he heard a man speaking unfavorably about his wife, Sita Devi. Speaking to his unchaste wife, the man said, you go to another man's house, and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you anymore. A henpecked husband like Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ram may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him, and therefore I shall not accept you again. Shukadeva Goswami said, men with a poor fund of knowledge and a heinous character speak nonsensically. Fearing such rascals, Lord Ramachandra abandoned his wife Sita Devi, although she was pregnant. Thus Sita Devi went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. When the time came, the pregnant mother of Sita Devi gave birth to two twin sons, later celebrated as Lava and Kusha. The ritualistic ceremonies for their birth were performed by Valmiki Muni. Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Lakshmana had two sons named Angada and Chitraketu, and Lord Bharata had two sons named Taksha and Pushkala. Shrutragna had two sons named Sabahu and Shrutasena. When Lord Bharata went to conquer all directions, he had to kill many millions of Gandharvas, who were generally pretenders. Taking all their wealth, he offered it to Lord Ramachandra. Shatrughna also killed a Rakshasa named Lavana, who was the son of Madhu Rakshasa. Thus he established in the great forest known as Madhuvan, the town known as Mathura. Being forsaken by her husband, Sita Devi entrusted her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni. Then meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, she entered into the earth. Purport. It was impossible for Sita Devi to live in separation from Lord Ramachandra. Thereafter, after entrusting her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni, she entered into the earth. After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, he could not check his grief in transcendental love. Purport. Lord Ramachandra's grief at the news of Sita Devi's entering the earth is not to be considered material. In the spiritual world also there are feelings of separation, but such feelings are considered spiritual bliss. Grief and separation exist even in the absolute, but such feelings of separation in the spiritual world are transcendental blissful. Such feelings are a sign of tasya prema vash yatva swabhava, being under the influence of ladini shakti, and being controlled by love. In the material world, such feelings of separation are only a perverted reflection. Urvamalama dakshakam ashvatam praho arviyam chadam sya yasya paranani yas tvam vedas the vedavit. That there is a banyan tree, it has its roots upward and its branches are down, and the hymns are the Vedic leaves. And the Vedic hymns are its leaves. One who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. In other words, what we're perceiving in the material world is only a reflection of the actual world, the spiritual world. And everything here, including our emotions, are just reflections of the actual emotions and the actual existence in the spiritual world. The material world exists on the platform of desire. And indeed, the spiritual world also exists on the platform of desire, but it's spiritual desire. Therefore, when desires are changed here, then also the quality of our experience changes from material, which means forgetfulness of Krishna, to spiritual, which means remembrance of Krishna. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Puram. That everyone is trying to become Prasanatma, a happy soul. Everyone's trying to experience happiness, and generally here in the material world, we are hankering for the objects that we think will give us happiness, and we're lamenting the fact that we either got them and lost them. They didn't, or we didn't get them, or we got them and they didn't turn out what we thought they were going to be. And therefore, we don't see everyone equally. We see everyone in terms of what they can give me and what they could possibly take away from me. Therefore, samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Therefore, we simply go through one species of life to the next, one material existence to the next, trying to establish relationships that are pleasing to us and do not disturb us. But the relationships that we become pleasing to us, that we become attached to, and therefore we have to come back to fulfill that attachment. And those that were not pleasing to us, we become averse to, and we have to come back to get the results of our aversion. But the actual attachment should be, or the hankering should be hankering for Krishna. And the lamentation should be the fact that we don't have Krishna. And therefore, if we hanker for Krishna and we lament in separation from Krishna, then our relationships with all other living entities will also come to the spiritual platform. And if we don't do that, we hanker for material objects, and we lament over our lack of enjoying them or our aversion to them, then the result is that we have simply our interactions with each other will always be on that basis. And therefore, we'll sometimes be lusty, sometimes greedy, sometimes angry, and always in delusion and forgetfulness and with lack of spiritual intelligence. Just to different degrees. Similarly, hankering means feeling separation. And that feeling of separation is simply the perverted reflection of feeling separation from Krishna. So, therefore, if one simply adds Krishna to the equation, then the hankerings become perfect, and we add Krishna to the equation, then our lamentations become also perfect. And if Krishna is not in the equation, then everything is a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Therefore, in practically all the pastimes, the devotees are always waiting for Krishna to come and feeling separation from him. And therefore, lamenting the fact that Krishna hasn't come. The Pandavas were always hankering for Krishna's association. And if Krishna wasn't present, sometimes they'd make plans how they could create a disturbance so Krishna would come and protect them. Of course, we don't have to do that because we're always disturbed. We don't have to make any plans for disturbance because the whole material world is disturbed. Therefore, the holy name is come so that we can easily take, Krishna can come very quickly. We don't have to wait for him to come from Dwarka. He can come immediately just by the holy name. And even when we go back to the spiritual world, as mentioned here, then still hankering lamentation will also exist there. Still, sometimes Krishna is present in Goloka Vrindavan. He's always present in Goloka Vrindavan. Sometimes it appears that he's gone to Mathura to kill Kamsa, even in the spiritual world, going to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And then Krishna comes back again. And then after some time, the residents of Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, they forget that Krishna had ever disappeared. And then again, one day, Hakura comes back and to take him to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And again, the residents of Goloka Vrindavan feel separation. But they don't think that we've gone through this so many times. We're sure he's going to come back. Probably the time span is so inconceivably great compared to our present existence. Because after all, one breath of Mahavishnu, is one lifetime of Mahavishnu, 311 trillion, 40 billion of our years, is equal to only one exhalation of Mahavishnu. So we can imagine what a day is like in Goloka Vrindavan. Inconceivable what a day is like. How many breaths do they take in a day? And what to speak of years, and then after some years, Kura comes back to take Krishna again to Mathura. So there's a long time. And they forget, and then everything goes on, nitya nitya, yavanavana yavana. That everything is always fresh and new. Every day they wake up, it's a new experience. It's not like, oh, again we go out to the pasturing grounds. Again, we go to play with Krishna, same old thing. That's material. But in the spiritual world, it's always the first time. It's always completely new and fresh. Always more exciting than it was before. And one can't quite remember exactly what it was like. It's always new. And here, everything is, again, punat punas charvita charvananam. It's always the same thing over and over again. And after a while, it loses its taste, called chewing the chewed. But that's not what the spiritual world is like. Thank Krishna. So I'm going to stop there. We're going to have a short class today. Any questions? Yes. What happened to your foot? What's that? Operation. Oh, okay.
And just wondering, hankering for
pizza prasadam, is this material, spiritual?
Sure is. Unless you see Krishna in the pizza. If we remember Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. In the absence of remembering Krishna, then it's material. You can't have something spiritual without Krishna. At least his effulgence should be there, or Paramatma, what to speak of Bhagavan. So we're just accustomed to being in the illusory energy. And if somehow or another vaguely we can connect it with Krishna, we think it's spiritual. Yes.
Hare Krishna, I would like to refer on this question. We get many guests in our temple who come here and they listen to like kirtan and they are totally with Krishna. They can feel Krishna there with Krishna. But
really?
Yet,
they're doing better than I am.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering, what is the qualification to say like I'm thinking about Krishna, I'm like I can feel presence of Krishna, because looks like that we are doing so much service for Krishna, yet we don't feel his presence, but then outside one comes, just with little cookies and a little
really?
And he's already with Krishna. Like,
is that right? I mean, you're the super soul, you know where they are?
No, the thing is like their feelings or something. And if you mention them like the japa, or you should then follow four regulative principles, like very
much. Well, you're just imagining where they're at.
Ah, right.
Unless you're the super soul, and you can confirm what they're feeling. Because people are coming, it's a nice atmosphere, people like to dance, and they like the music, and they see the devotees dancing. Doesn't mean they're with Krishna. It's not so easy. Unless there's some special pious activities in the last lifetime. But if that was the case, then they'd probably become serious. They'd actually become more inquisitive. But I know, they get some benefit. So everyone gets benefit if they take part in Krishna conscious activities. But to what extent people are feeling, that you're not going to know. Unless you come to the same, unless you're on some special platform of consciousness.
I mean, I think that they are imagination.
Yes, you're thinking so many things.
Yeah.
That's
Hare Krishna, yes, and I understand. I was thinking like...
I know, thinking.
No,
but
about...
What is the value of our thinking when we're conditioned souls?
Yes. Hare Krishna, thank you, Gurudev.
Anything else? Yes.
Thank you. How can we more feel the Krishna in daily life?
Surrender. Chant. Are you chanting japa?
Yeah.
So chant the japa better. Krishna is there, but our consciousness is somewhere else. So we bring our consciousness to just hearing the holy name, try to feel its presence, then it's more likely we'll feel Krishna's presence if we make that effort. Krishna, when he sees our sincere effort to try to feel his presence, then he may reveal himself. He may give us the opportunity, the intelligence, and the ability to feel his presence. It's a question of desire. But if we chant Hare Krishna and we don't think we can do it, we don't think Krishna is going to reveal himself, then he's not going to disappoint us and reveal himself to us. So it's a question of faith, desire, and effort. Faith that Krishna and his name are non-different. The effort to try to chant so nicely that Krishna will be pleased to reveal himself, and trying to develop the desire by making the proper effort. And understand that it's a combination of our effort, our desire, our determination, and Krishna is seeing our sincerity and agreeing to reveal himself. We can't force him to reveal himself. We can't force him that we can feel his presence. But if we qualify ourselves, then he'll reveal himself to us. Anything else? Khala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.